Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached on November 4th and 5th, 2023, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie, and also at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The text for the day was Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every parent hopes at some point that a light will go on in their children's mind and hearts. They hope that they will come to understand that those things they have sought to teach them are not just rules created to test their obedience. They hope that their children come to understand that the things they have taught them are actually just good. Good in nature and good for them in their lives. Well, the Heavenly Father also desires this for His children. He does not want His children to think of His ways as random things that He chose to test our obedience. He does not want us to think of such things as just things we could get in trouble for if we did not do them. No, He wants you to know that those things are good things, good in nature and good for you. Martin Luther, in writing about the Beatitudes which we just heard, says this of Jesus: He does not come like Moses or a teacher of the law with demands, threats, and terrors, but in a very friendly way with enticements, allurements, and pleasant promises. In other words, in this teaching, Jesus does not say to His children, "Do this or else." Such a word has its place and time, but not here. Here the word is this: in doing this, in walking in God's ways, you will be blessed. To walk in these ways is good in nature and good for you. Now, this is not the false gospel of those who preach that following Christ means a life of ease and wealth and health at all times. But neither is it the opposite error which suggests that life with Christ is only full of crosses to bear. No, this is the true word that simply says that walking in God's way is good. It is blessed by Him. Jesus tells us that it is good to be spiritually poor, meaning that we live as if we are poor even if we have much, not letting that wealth rule us. We are to claim nothing as our own and be ready to leave it all behind for the kingdom of God or for our brother or sister or even just our neighbor in need. As we seek the kingdom and not those other things, God gives to us blessedly that kingdom that we seek in abundance. Isn't it odd how we all at times decide we want to be rich and famous, even though every memoir or biography of these people seems to suggest they have tortured lives that often end in tragedy? Far better to be poor in spirit. God also says that it is good to mourn. We understand, you see, that this world will always have things present in it that are not what God desires. We do not try to have such rose-colored lenses in our viewing of this life that we try to turn this world into heaven, lest we would end up laying up our treasures here. We do not want to kid ourselves into thinking that if we just made a few better informed decisions, life would be all champagne wishes and caviar dreams. As we mourn, we are comforted. We're comforted even now through the Spirit who comes to our side, and we shall be comforted in full on the last day. Tell me, those who think their life is just about their constant amusement and happiness, how do they fare in this world? Are they amused and happy most of the time, or just mostly disappointed? God also tells us that being meek and not proud with our neighbors is good. No, we need not be so demanding about our every need that it has to be met right away. We need not assert every right that we think others are overlooking that is ours. We do not have to make sure that every wrong committed against us is immediately rectified. No, for we shall inherit the land. And land here refers both to the earthly blessing God gives us now, including actual land, and also, though, to the new heaven and new earth we will be given one day. Because God provides, we need not act as if one bad act by somebody makes us destitute. No, living with a God who provides brings peace to our soul. It makes us meek. Again, tell me, those who always feel wronged and demand immediate restitution for any wrong, do they strike you as people that are ever really content or satisfied or at peace? We also are told that being always hungry for righteousness in all of our dealings is good. We long to live in the righteousness that God has given to us in Christ in our baptisms. We do not choose to act righteously just when it suits ourselves, and we don't decide that at other times we'll walk in worldly ways when we think that will suit us better. We don't treat our neighbors one way in church and then treat them differently when we have business dealings later in the week. When we get a chance to influence the laws in our country, yes, we do want them to be formed by the Word of God because we know that the ways He has given are indeed good. God fills those of us who love His righteousness with very good things. He gives us satisfaction in having promoted righteousness for the good of our neighbor. And as we seek His kingdom and righteousness, indeed all needful things are given to us. We are filled. How do they who do not care about God's righteous ways fare? For instance, how do those who ignore God's ways in regard to marriage and sexuality find themselves? Are they in a better place than us as far as their relationships? Do they have stability or chaos in that regard? We are also instructed that to be merciful is good. As ones who have been forgiven, we forgive, and as we forgive, God forgives us. We show mercy to all who we deal with, especially those who are just learning how to struggle against sin. We also know that if we show mercy to others throughout their lives, they are more likely to forgive us when we do sin against them. We also just simply show mercy by caring for people in need. Their need not be just for forgiveness, but for anything. Yes, in the giving and receiving of mercy, peace is found. Of course, that's especially true when the mercy shown to us is God's mercy given to us because of Jesus' death and resurrection. For tell me again, do those who refuse to forgive, guarding their right to be angry or vengeful, really gain anything from that other than sleepless nights and unreconciled relationships? It is also good, we are told, to be pure in heart, where we're not only seeking to do good, but to let the goodness of God remain in our heart. The pure in heart ones are the ones that are watching and pondering what God says and replacing our own ideas with the Word of God. For we understand that if God did not give us new and pure hearts, we could do nothing that is listed in the Beatitudes. Without them, at best, we would be like whitewashed tombs, which appear outwardly beautiful, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. We might be able to do something that looks good, but it would not proceed from a pure heart. No, it is only as we let the Word of God abide in us that our hearts are made pure, and we see God and His ways very clearly. And amazingly, we also shall get to see Him with our own eyes visually one day. Again, can anyone claim that those with hearts of stone soiled with filth live a better life in this world than those who proceed with a pure heart? We are also told that it is good to be a peacemaker. And how clear this is again now to us when we see and hear of war so often. While war is sometimes necessary and God ordained, it is never what we truly desire. No, we seek to live at peace with all. From our closest neighbors, those family members that live with us in our own homes, to those neighbors who are farther removed from us, even removed by things like national borders, we still desire peace. We are blessed when we do not feel the need to constantly find reasons to be angry with everyone, but instead, as far as it is possible for us, we simply live at peace with all. For indeed, don't those who sow discord and love war reap discord and war? And yes, it is good even when we are persecuted, insulted, and hated because of our faith in Jesus. It is far better to be hated for clinging to God than to be liked for leaving Him behind. Here we take our lead from all the other faithful ones who have gone before us, who have rejoiced even while they suffered, because they were counted worthy of the honor of suffering for Christ's name. Would it be better if you simply ended up suffering for doing wrong, if you sat in jail for hurting someone or defrauding them? No, you see, all these ways of God that are addressed here in the Beatitudes are good. These and many more ways of God are good. And God wants you to know this as His child. He wants you to mature to the point where you do these things not because you fear punishment, but because you love Him and view them as good. Good in nature and good for the one living in them. Good ultimately for all people. Yes, God's ways are good, and we should view them as such, as all the saints of God do when they abide in Jesus and His Word. But I suppose all too often we forget this. We think that God just picks things to test us rather than remembering that He is revealing to us what is most excellent. We think that other ways might be better than His ways. We throw away the treasure that Christ gives us and we choose to chase trash instead. For that, let us repent. Let us return to the one who has been teaching us this day. For He is meek and merciful towards us. He hungers for righteousness enough that He gives us His own that we might live in it by forgiving our unrighteousness through His death and by giving us His righteous spirit. Yes, He suffered all wrong for us and for the name of His Father, that we might be His saints and might live as them forever. As all the saints have done, may God grant us to do also. Amen.